I know you know who wrote that song. Mark Lowry wrote that song. Now, Mark Lowry is, he's known as much for being a Christian comedian as he is for singing. He sang with the Gaither Vocal Band for a number of years. I don't know if he still does or not, but he's originally from Lynchburg, Virginia, and he used to sing at, when Sue and I were at the university, he used to sing there quite a bit. And one day we were in Burlington Coat Factory, and Sue was shopping, and I could hear this voice in the next aisle over. And I said, man, that sounds like Mark Lowry. And there he was, shopping in Burlington Coat Factory, the next aisle over from me. Joe did a great job on that. There's actually, I've reposted, and I don't know if that inspired you or not, but I know you like my post that I put on Facebook of the rendition. He actually sang that a cappella with a group of people. That's on my Facebook page if you haven't heard that. But that's a great song and so appropriate for today. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you might bless your word to our hearts today. We very much need to have it. And Father, help us to see the peace that you offer us at Christmas in a whole new light. This we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. A little girl was pushing the limits of her mother, and she was on her very last nerves. Perhaps some of you can relate to that. Mom was nearing the ending of the hectic Christmas season. She was cooking, she was cleaning, she was shopping, she was wrapping, and then there was all that church stuff that the pastor was trying to get her to do on top of it. She was also nearing the breaking point with her little preschool daughter, and finally the little girl was bathed and ready for bed, and as she knelt to say her prayers, Mom listened to her sweet three-year-old theologian customize the evening prayer, and she said this, "And forgive us our Christmases, as we forgive those who Christmas against us." Doesn't it just seem that way? At this season of the year that we celebrate what is the very best brings out the very worst in us. The things that we don't want to be and the things that we don't want to do, we end up being and we end up doing because of the pressures that we feel at Christmas time. We want to celebrate peace, but we oftentimes end up in conflict with those that we are closest to and should be. Today our theme is peace. Let me give you a little definition of what peace means. Right from Webster's Dictionary, it is the freedom of disturbances. Another definition is the freedom from or the cessation of wars is what the word peace means. Today's passage is about peace. Those angels came and brought that message of peace to those shepherds that were out in the wilderness. And it's interesting that it is brought not without purpose. It's not a mistake that the very first declaration of the birth of Jesus Christ outside of Mary and Joseph was to these shepherds. Now, I know some of you just recently have had this experience, so we may get some good takers on this, but when a child is born in your household, okay, so especially those of you who are the ones that were giving birth to them, what's the first call that you usually make? I know it's not to me. I'm one of the last ones to know. Usually the first call that you make is to some family member. Am I right in that? And especially if you're a grandparent who's not there when the child is born, you expect to have that like 2 minutes after the child is born. Yes, the baby's delivered safely and the mother's doing good too, and the father is passed out on the floor kind of thing. You want that news, okay? And you want to share that with your family. Now, of course, with Mary and Joseph, this is in an age where there was no technology, there were no phones, there was no way to get the message to the family up in the northern part of Israel. But it is interesting that they do have a new technology for delivering information, and it was this angelic host. And the message could have just as easily been transferred to their family back up in Galilee, but no. This message came to the shepherds that were on this hill country, and let us not think that the reason why the message came to these shepherds was just simply because they were in close proximity. Now, it was very convenient for them to be able to travel to see Jesus at that time, but the idea of the declaration of the message of the birth of Jesus came to these shepherds not just because they were in close proximity. I would suggest to you that the metaphor runs much deeper than that. Christmas peace, as we're going to see with these shepherds, is offered, first of all, to those who live in fractured lives. I would say that about these shepherds because what we do know about shepherds, and please anybody that's in the agricultural business or raising livestock, please don't take offense at this because back in that day it was a much different kind of life than what being involved with agriculture is today. But we notice that these guys are out in the field. They're out there at nighttime. They're separated from their family, and they're even separated from the formal worship of God, because when you work with animals like that, and in the killing and in the raising of animals, you were considered to be ceremonially unclean, and therefore you couldn't enter into the temple or even into the synagogue and be able to worship God. For a very long period of time, shepherds were people that were outcasts even from religion and from the practice of it. They were outside the family, and typically the reason why men would be out taking care of sheep at night in the middle of a field in the wintertime was because they were not landowners. And in the ancient world, if you weren't a landowner, you really didn't have much in this world. You didn't have anything to stand on. You had no substantive income in your life. And so these were men who were hired, likely. It's not likely that they even owned those sheep, and they were taking care of somebody else's business. Christmas comes to people such as this. The peace of Christmas comes to people such as this. Those who are outside of the family. Those who are outside of the family of God. That's really what the message of Christmas is about. It's wonderful for those who have already had a relationship with God for some time in their life, but primarily, I think part of the reason why the church fathers put Christmas into the church calendar is so that it would be a declaration to the world that we live in. You know, if you were here for the service last Sunday when we had the decorating of the greens, this attempt that is going on in society to try to remove the word Christmas from this season of the year is ridiculous, because if you want to do that, you can't take Christianity out of Christmas, because Christ's name is right in the message. But then if you want to try to convert this Christmas tree into a holiday tree, as was attempted at the White House a few years ago, then you've got the wreaths. You've got the evergreens that all represent to us the everlasting nature of the Father. And then you say, well, we've at least got the poinsettias, which are a great Christmas thing, and don't have anything. No. The leaves are red because of the blood of Christ, and they form a star because of that star that was over Christ. And then, well, we've got the lights. Well, no, the lights were that bright, shining light that was in the sky that directed the water. You can't take Christianity out of Christmas. And the whole purpose of Christmas is to be that witness to those who are outside of the family. These guys also were not attached to the values of this world. They were willing to leave them behind. In some ways, they were very desperate. Do you ever feel that way, that you just don't fit with what's going on in this world today? Maybe you felt that a lot over the last couple of years in this most recent election cycle. We sometimes can really feel like that we're out of place, and we wonder, what is my purpose here on this earth? If you feel out of place, like that you don't fit on planet Earth anymore, I've got news for you. That's not a bad feeling to have. Because we are not destined to stay here on this planet, but we are designed by God for something that is beyond this world for all of eternity. And especially for those of us who are Christians, I find this, I'm going to be celebrating my 50th birthday in 2017, so I'm getting up there, and I'm definitely into middle age. If I was denying that before, I can't deny it when I'm 50, right? So, but the older I get, the more I begin to think about heaven. I begin to think about that world that is beyond this world, and I find even more so my values shifting towards that. But I would also say that peace comes to such as these at this time because they were sinners. These guys not only were ceremonial unclean, but they were ones that were sinners of their own virtue. Remember when the angel first came to them, they were fearful. And not to say that you and I wouldn't be fearful if an angel appeared to us, but in the ancient world, the idea was that if there was a divine appearance that happened to a person, that it was some intervention of God, which is true in this case. But if it's an intervention from God, it has to be that God was coming down in judgment upon them because of their sin. The fact that these guys responded with fear at first shows to us that they were sinners. Peace that Christ brings to us through his birth, it can repair all of those fractures in life. Remember, the meaning of peace is the freedom from disturbances, the cessation of war. And when Jesus came into this world, he came to forgive us of our sins. That's why he died on the cross. And that's the only way that my sins can be forgiven. I can't pay for them. I can't do penance to cover them. I can't hit the rewind button. Boys, wouldn't that be great sometimes to be able to hit the rewind button in life and back up a few sentences even sometimes, a few years sometimes, or maybe even go all the way back to the beginning and replay all of life and do it over again. And then sometimes people just pretend that we're not in this state of sin, and that only complicates our problems when we do that. When we accept this act of peace that comes at Christmas, our lives are placed into God's family. We're adopted, and we belong. And that's peace. That's real Christmas peace, people. But it doesn't end there. This whole idea of peace is something that God gives to us. This Christmas peace allows a light to shine onto our life that reveals the hidden things of our life that need to be revealed. And maybe for those of you who have been walking with Christ for a while, this is what Christmas can do for you this year. It can show to us those things in our life that need to change. Now, it's not by mistake as well that this message came to the shepherds at night. Now, we don't know exactly what time of day it was that Jesus was born. He could have been born in the daytime. He could have been born at night. I don't know. But we do know this. The message came at nighttime, and it's not by mistake, because the contrast that God wanted us to see between the light and the darkness is profound in this passage. It's mentioned several times, not only in the Luke passage, but also in other passages where there's this contrast. And you don't need to think too hard about this. If you've watched any of the Star Wars movies, you know that the light represents the good and the darkness represents the evil, right? And it's true in this situation as well, that darkness is evil and light is good or righteousness. And the darkness in this story represents the condition not only of these shepherds, but also of the human race. That the human race was deep in darkness, and John's gospel talks to us about that, that the light shone into the darkness, but the mankind did not comprehend what that light was. So here we have this idea of darkness invading into light. This metaphor should not be underestimated of the reason why this message came to them at nighttime. You've heard me say this before, and again, I don't want to dash anybody's beliefs about what the importance of December the 25th is, but we know pretty much for sure that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. What we do know about December 25th is that in the ancient world, first of all, there was a heathen custom of worshiping the sun god that happened on that day. The early church fathers, when they were establishing the calendar, they wanted to set Christmas, the birth of Christ, on a time that was more symbolic than it was accurate. And so they chose intentionally to try to redeem that heathen custom of worshiping the sun on that day and to put December the 25th as the day that Jesus was born to replace that. But here's the other reason. We're coming into that time, when will it be? Actually, next Wednesday when they're going out Christmas caroling, right? A week from this Wednesday, the 21st or the 22nd. It's the day of the shortest daylight time on the calendar year. Very close to December 25th, and they chose that day because it is the season of the year where there is the least amount of daylight. We're in darkness more in these next few weeks than we are in the whole rest of the year, and the birth of Jesus, the great light, the goodness, the righteousness of God invaded into the darkness, the evil of mankind in the birth of Jesus Christ. The symbolism, the metaphor should not be missed. Let me read to you a prophecy. We dealt with this in prayer meeting on Wednesday night, all three of us. We went from 50 people coming out on Wednesday nights. We're down to 3 this last week. We've got to change that in the new year, folks. But Isaiah chapter 9, we looked at this briefly. This is Isaiah's prophecy from back 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And this is what he said would happen at that time. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for fire. For unto us is born this day, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The light would invade the darkness, and that would be the result. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you where You've been living in a room in your house that you thought was clean and dusted and all that kind of stuff. I'm really responsible, though I say this, that I don't really even take full responsibility for my office because every once in a while it'll get so bad that my wife will go in and actually clean it for me. But I'm supposed to take care of my office. Actually, Joe posted a thing on, too, about signs of intelligent people. One of them is a messy desk. Guilty as charged. anyways, so... And I generally, in my office, I keep the blinds pulled because in the early morning, my window looks right out to where the sun rises, and so I don't like that sun hitting me in the eyes, and so I keep my blinds drawn most of the time, and then I have a light behind me and I have a light at my desk, and it's kind of a bit of a subdued atmosphere. It's not very bright light in there. But there was one time back, I can't remember when this was, last year, when there was no, the electricity went out for a few hours, and so I was in my office, and I actually had somebody come visit me during this time, and I had to open the blinds. And the sunlight was shining. It was in the daytime. The sun was shining pretty bright at that moment. And I got looking around my office, and I thought, man, when the lights are on, this place is really pretty dirty. So after we got the electricity back on, I cleaned my office really good. And but it exposed the dirt that the darkness hid. That's what the coming of Jesus does. And when we really stop and consider the advent of Christ, and this can be true for us even today, that when we think about his coming into this world, it reveals to us those sins that we like to keep in the darkness, those private sins, those things of an unforgiving spirit, those things of a foul mouth, those things of a sexualized view of relationships, those things of bitterness and of anger and of wrath against other people. You get the idea of what I'm talking about. The Epistle of 1 John speaks to us about what this light can do for us. And if I just may read to you the first few verses, or a few verses from the first chapter. John, again, picks up on this idea of light and darkness in the person of Jesus a lot. And he says this beginning in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So here we find God is good, darkness is evil, there is no evil in him. Verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his Son Jesus purifies us from all sins. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That verse talks to us pretty plainly about how this light, knowing who God is, reading the Word of God, understanding more of who Jesus is, it's like when I opened the blinds in my office that day that showed all the dirt that I had been missing because I was in darkness. When we allow the light of the Word of God and the person of Jesus Christ to shine into our life, it exposes darkness, it exposes what's in the darkness, it exposes sin in our life, and we can feel pretty uncomfortable with that, to be honest. And we maybe don't like it. And maybe sometimes that's the reasons why people avoid being engaged in Christianity. Maybe sometimes that's the reason why people avoid coming to church, because it's a confrontation with the ugliness of their own life and of their own sin. But John gets it right for us in verse 9 of what it is that we're supposed to do with that. We're not supposed to sweep it under the rug or put on some kind of makeup over us to make it seem as though that we're better than what we are, but we're to confess it. We are to confess our sins. When it says that we confess our sins, then he purifies us from unrighteousness, and that light does what it's supposed to do in our lives. Confession is that idea of owning our sins. We oftentimes like to shift the blame to somebody else. Well, I did what I did because somebody didn't do what they're supposed to do. Own it. That's what confessing is. I own it as my own. Decide that you want to do something different, that there's something better, that there is God's way that is a better thing for me, which leads to repentance, that I'm going to make a decision that I'm not going to stay in this sin, that I'm going to change my mind and my sense of direction. And then lastly, confession is best summed up as this idea is just simply agreeing with God that he's right and I'm wrong and I need to be obedient to what he says in his word. This Christmas, will you let the light of Advent shine into your life and bring that peace that comes only through the birth of Christ? Thirdly, this morning, Christmas peace can radically change your life. We notice for these shepherds, that the angel's message to them was, we have good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people. Good news. And I know that's a very gospel term, it's a very Christian term, but it was a term that was used in the ancient world to convey this idea that there was news for you, for the community, for the people in the constituency of the Roman Empire. There was good news that would be life-transforming for you. Whenever somebody came into power, they would send out a person who would make those proclamations throughout the entire empire. Good news! You've got a new ruler, you've got a new Caesar, and it's, from their perspective, it was going to be good for them. Not always was it good. Notice the immediacy of this. They said, it's today. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's not next year. No, it's today. There is an immediacy to this. And consider these words that the angels used to describe who the baby Jesus was. First of all, that today there is born for you a Savior. A Savior. That He comes into this world to save us from something. What is the something? From the penalty of our sins. We all deserve death. We all deserve to be eternally separated from God because of our sin. Jesus came into this world, and that's the good news, that we can have a Savior, somebody who can forgive us of our sins. Secondly, it says that He is the Christ, a Savior who is Christ. That's the Old Testament word Messiah, which simply means the Anointed One. And in the short version of it, the Anointed One is that one person that God would appoint who could meet every single need of the human heart for time and for eternity. He is the answer. He is the one who can provide every single need of your life for time and for eternity. That's who Jesus Christ is. And then lastly, it says that He's Lord. He wants to have rule over your life. He wants to provide and protect you. He wants to care for your life if you will allow Him to do that. The angels left after that. And those shepherds said, hey, let's leave these fields. Let's go do something that we haven't done in a long time. Let's go engage with people. And so they came to where Mary and Joseph were and where the baby Jesus was, and they worshiped Him. And then afterwards, they went back into the mainstream of the community, and they shed this news abroad. They shared this good news with people, and they were acting radically different. Why? Because they had peace. We may ask this question. Can I ever have true peace in my life? Will there ever be peace in this world? One of America's greatest poets is Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And in 1860, life was good for him. He was newly married. His reputation as a poet and as a writer was expanding, and he was elated with what was happening in the nation of America. But in 1861, the Civil War started. And around that time, his wife tragically died. In his diary for Christmas Day of 1861, he wrote this, "How inexpressibly sad are the holidays." In 1862, the war was in full rage, and he wrote this in his diary, "A Merry Christmas, say the children, but that is no more for me." In 1863, he had no entry in his diary, but in 1864, at the age of 57, Longfellow sat down and tried to capture, if possible, the words of joy for the season. And he began them with these words. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along their unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." And then he said this in verse 3, "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." You may feel that about our world today. You may even feel that more personally in your life today, that there is no peace. But then he goes on and he says this, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth He sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing, on His way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime, of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Can you identify with Longfellow? I can't think of a better thing to do on December the 11th, right in the midst of the advent of Christ, The Sunday that we celebrate is peace, to receive it into your life. Maybe that you've never done that in your life. You've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Will you come today as we sing this hymn and give your life to Christ? That's what he came for. He wants to give you that peace that you're longing for. He wants to give you that sense of belonging in his family that those shepherds were missing and that perhaps that you are missing. And perhaps you've been a person who has walked with Christ for a while, but peace hasn't been there. Will you come today and invite Christ to come in afresh and anew and give to you peace? Let's stand as we sing number 98 in your hymn books, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." Let's stand as we sing.